The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If a person stops believing for salvation, will they lose their eternal life? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got a question, you can send it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, this discussion is going to take place in a moment, but before we get to that, I want to tell you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up so soon. You need to act right away if you want to join us. We would love to have you there. You can learn all about it by going to faithalone.org. You can click on events. You can even register right there on the site. We look forward to seeing you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm about to be the juniper trees, or no, what is it? Is it a bush?
What is it?
The juniper and the elm are trying to kill me today.
Are you getting allergy problems?
The pollen thing, 9.9. That's like 0.1 away from 10.
Well, you know,
when it reaches 10, I'm gone.
I've been having a lot of congestion, but I thought mine was a cold, but maybe it's a combo thing. I don't know.
I didn't know all these interesting allergies I got when I moved to Texas. That's one thing I liked about Canada. You know, just the winter, everything is dead. There's no allergies. You can just breathe fresh air for like, you know, 5-6 months out of the year. But I get to Texas and it's, going to keel over. All right, questions. There are so many questions. Let's see. Here's one from Angel. I've been following Grace Evangelical Society on YouTube for a few months now and very much appreciate you all. Oh, I'm glad for that. We're trying to have a bigger presence on YouTube. We're going to try to record more videos in a short little while. My question is really about, quote, grace for me, but not for thee. I don't think that's not a quote from us. I think maybe it's just an expression. There's many people who claim they believe in the promise of everlasting life for themselves because they know they will never stop believing. But they claim anyone who does stop believing in Jesus and his promise of salvation will lose salvation. So my question is, are these people saved and are they right?
That's a tough question.
So let me get this straight. So Angel's imagining someone. They say they believe in the promise of everlasting life because they think it hinges on continuous faith and they're sure they're never going to stop believing. And so therefore they have assurance. But they're not assured of anyone else continuing to believe.
Right, and I have met people, a few like this. Now, this is a very inconsistent Calvinist position, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's saying that there is at least perseverance in faith. Maybe not perseverance in good works.
Okay.
But you must persevere in faith. And the thinking goes something like this. Anyone who believes in Jesus has everlasting life and will never stop believing in him.
Yeah, okay.
So therefore, if you believe in Jesus, you know two things. You know you have everlasting life and you know you'll never stop believing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an inconsistent Calvinist position. The consistent Calvinist position would be anyone who believes in Jesus has everlasting life, but believing in Jesus is not really knowable. And so the way we know we believe in Jesus is by looking for the marks of a believer,
yeah,
which would be continued faith and continued good works.
Yeah.
And since we can't be sure we're going to persevere to the end, we're never sure that we're born again. We just go through life saying, I think I'm on the right path. I think the trajectory of my life suggests I'm going to persevere in both faith and good works.
Right.
So coming back to his question, would a person who thought, I know I'm born again by faith in Jesus and I know I'm going to persevere, would they be born again? I would say it's tricky, but if they were convinced that simply by faith in Jesus they were secure forever, then yes, they'd be born again, even if they believed that somehow I'm guaranteed I'm going to continue to believe.
Well, see, that's my question here. I mean, they're using, in this example, they're using the term everlasting life. And yet at the same time, they think if you stop believing, you'll lose your salvation. So that tells me that there's some confusion about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I forgot that part of Angel's question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in that sense, but they say they know they won't stop believing.
Well, see, so my problem with this is twofold. One, I don't think they understand what the condition of salvation is. And two, I don't think they understand what the result of salvation is.
Okay? I got you. So you're saying they really aren't born again.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like they're really confused because the condition of salvation is not continuing in faith until you die.
Right.
The condition of salvation is a single act of faith. Jesus compared it to a single drink of water.
I like
a bite,
it.
A single look at the bronze serpent, birth. It's not a continuous thing. It's a momentary thing. And the result of doing that, the result of being persuaded just once of Jesus' promise of salvation, is you get everlasting life. And if that is not clear in itself, Jesus says, you'll never perish, never come under judgment, pass from death into life. No one will snatch you out of his hands.
Right.
You know, you'll never die. And yet, and this person thinks if you stop believing, you'll lose your salvation.
Okay.
So I would say this person is... They don't understand. They're using the words. They're using the words faith. They're using the words everlasting life. But I don't think this person does not get it.
Okay. I stand corrected. I think you're right. I would say that based on this, either this is a person who believed in the past and has lost their way, so in which case they'd be a born-again person who has become confused.
Right.
Or they've not yet been born again.
Right.
Because they're thinking somehow if they themselves were to stop believing, they would lose salvation.
Yeah.
Now, even though they say, I know I'm not going to stop believing,
yeah,
realistically, they know it's possible they might.
Right.
I mean, if any of us think somehow that we're immune from the possibility of unbelief, of apostasy, well, then we're on a dangerous path. Because one of the ways we avoid apostasy is by knowing it's possible and therefore taking steps against it by
right.
prayer and by being in a solid Bible teaching church and by not wandering away from the Lord. So that's a good question from Angel.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a good question. So a lot of people have trouble with this idea that it just takes a single act of faith. And then that single act has permanent results. They can't seem to wrap their minds around it. And some people have even argued, isn't it, Wallace and his grammar says
right.
that's what it means, you need to keep on believing.
Right.
But that's not exactly right.
Not only is it not exactly right, it's exactly wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Because?
Well, because if you think about it, Jesus says, whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. You've already given a bunch of good examples. Once you drink the living water, you're secure forever. It's
right.
not drink, drink, drink your whole life.
Right.
It's one drink.
Right. That, and because if it was drink, drink, drink your whole life, the whole illustration, the whole contrast between what Jesus is offering and what the woman at the well in John 4, she has to keep on coming back to the well, keep on drinking because she gets thirsty. So she needs to drink more and more and more. Then she gets thirsty and she needs to drink more. And Jesus is saying, in contrast to that, one drink, your thirst is slaked forever.
Yeah. In fact, in verse 15, she says, okay, give me this water so I don't ever have to come here again to draw any more water.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you got it wrong. You're thinking in physical terms. I'm talking as a spiritualist, just like Nicodemus was thinking in physical terms on the new birth.
Well, they all do, all in John. Whenever Jesus evangelizes, and I don't know why he chose this example, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about the new birth, and Nicodemus is like, how do I get back into my mother's womb? And
yeah.
Or in John 6, you have to eat my flesh. And they're like, what? You know, how can we're going to chop you up or something for barbecue? He's like, no. I'm talking about believing in me.
Right.
You know, every time it was just a metaphor for believing. Let's see if we can answer this question in a short time. This is from Doug. And Doug says he's read your book on Calvinism. And what is that called? What book is it?
Is Calvinism biblical?
Oh, yeah. Is Calvinism biblical? And he says, I wholly agree that Calvinism and Lordship Salvation corrupt the gospel. However, when I look back at some of the great preachers and missionaries of the past few centuries, like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, Charles Spurgeon, I'm struck by how many of them were five-point Calvinists. Do you think God still greatly used these men, in spite of their faulty teaching, to lead others to Christ?
The answer would be, in my opinion, yes. Because God can use anyone to lead people toward faith in Christ. And so even if Spurgeon or Whitfield or Edwards never came to faith in Christ and never were born again, if they were proclaiming aspects of God's word that were true,
yeah,
then they could lead people in the right direction. The Holy Spirit could use that. However, it's possible all three of these men were born again.
Yeah.
It's possible all of them at some point got the fact that it was a free gift by faith, apart from works,
I mean,
and then later got confused,
yeah,
especially in the case of Spurgeon. I have read a lot of things from Spurgeon that sound like everlasting life is a free gift received by faith apart from works.
I mean, each of these guys preached sermons on justification by faith apart from works. And they preached it clearly, totally apart from works, just by believing, and you were justified. And I could totally see someone in the pew hearing that message, believing it, and they get saved. Even though the next week they might say something confusing.
If you've ever listened to Lordship Salvation preachers today, that's true as well. You'll sometimes, for example, John MacArthur wrote the Gospel According to Jesus. Well, there are some places in there where he will say justification is by faith alone apart from works. Couldn't a person hear a wrong message and basically reject most of it and accept the right part?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit could use that.
Yeah, absolutely the Holy Spirit can use that. So, on the other hand, being famous in the eyes of the world doesn't necessarily mean being famous in the eyes of God.
No, and I would not recommend going to a church that is proclaiming a confused or false gospel.
Right.
Go to one that's clear. But having said that, God can even use a garbled gospel to move a person in the right direction, and maybe even they'll come to faith when the person, as you said, happens in one short period of time to get it right.
All right, thanks for the questions. Drop us a line. Tell us what aspect of the ministry has benefited you so we know, okay, where we should put our resources. Is it in more videos? Is it in more books, magazines, Bible studies? Let us know. radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the program on Monday, we're going to talk about why the Apostle Paul was forced to serve Christ. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.